Dear people, will you once again open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. I'm going to begin the reading this time at verse 26 rather than 20. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." We're all aware that this is the tradition of the church, and some at least, on the first Sunday, that they will take the Lord's Supper. And we have set before us the elements which gives us the sign that we also are taking the Lord's Supper. Now this passage, no doubt you are quite familiar with it, not only in the Matthew's Gospel, but even in Mark and also in Luke, we find that this is recorded for us, how they prepared themselves, the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples, to take the Lord's Supper, or I should say at that particular time, to institute the Lord's Supper. Now, our passage this morning brings us to a very important issue of the purpose and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This night, which is recorded for us in the life of Jesus, is the teaching of God's promised salvation to sinners. Everything that God promised in the Old Testament is now going to come to fruition. It will now culminate on what takes place in that upper room here, as we see in our scriptures. Jesus led his disciples from Old Testament promise and worship to New Testament redemption in this particular aspect that takes place. He made the ending of the Passover clear as he presented the beginning of the new covenant. God would no longer look at the Passover and even receive worship of the Passover at this particular point. It ended right then and there. From this point on, the Passover would not be recognized by God. The Lord's Supper would take the place of what God's people would do at this point as far as coming to him and recognizing what has been done by God for the redemption of sinners coming out of their Egypt, that is, under the very control of Satan himself. Now, every one of us who are truly saved were in Christ Jesus' mind, heart, and actions on that night. You see, Jesus didn't look down the annals of time, or say, or look after the cross and decide as he see people and thinking about them that he's going to bring him to himself. Let me repeat what I said. Every one of us who are truly saved were in Christ Jesus' mind, heart, and actions on that night. Since that being the case, I want you to try to bring yourself back to that night. Every one of us who are here, who truly saved, take yourself back to that night in that upper room. Take your position at the table. Sit there with Jesus as we look at what he went through in the scriptures here. And it was you the reason why he went through it. It was you that was on his heart and in his mind at that particular time. Dear people, I believe if we read the scriptures and we see the life of Jesus and we see what's going on and we read it as a past event and never become connected to it, we miss what the word is really telling us. We miss what Jesus Christ is teaching us. And so therefore, I'm asking you to involve your mind. I want you to take yourself back to the night in that upper room and sit with Jesus. Now, as we look at the very text here, There is a little that goes before it, and I believe as you see this, you'll understand the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's doing. We find out in the 18th verse, he tells his disciples what he's going to do, and it is now the Passover. He knows they're going to eat the unleavened bread of the Passover, and that's going to be the thing that takes place. So he tells a couple of his disciples to go forth and tell them, meet this man, and tell them there's a certain place that you need. The teacher has need of a place in the Passover for his house with my disciples, and it goes through. They're sitting at the table. Passover is taking place, and what takes place there is we know that there's two of those who are there, and Jesus knows that Satan has already gotten to the heart of one of the disciples. Not only does he know he's gotten to the heart of one of them, he knows which heart he's gotten to. And he tells them, as he's now doing this, he says, one of you will betray me. And he knew it was Judas. And then it moves on. While they're there, they're taking that unleavened bread, that supper, that Passover supper, and all the parts that were there to that part, that supper. And as he gets to the end of that, it tells in verse 26, and while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples himself. Now, I want you, while you're sitting there with the Lord Jesus Christ, now you know why you're going through the Passover meal. You know each part of it, the Passover meal. You know what's being said, what's being taken there, and why they're taking it. Now, I didn't go back to do the study of it, but there it's certain things they had there. You know, they had the lamb to eat, they had the bread, and they had unleavened bread. It was basically, at this particular time, unleavened bread will be what they would eat for the next 7 days. And they had other things. They had bitter herbs there and everything. And so the disciples sitting there, understanding this, knowing what is going on as they go through each part. Now, the supper actually comes to an end, the Passover supper. It comes to an end. But Christ is continuing on. Now, think in your mind as you're sitting there, you are good Jews, so to speak, and you're going to know what they're going through, but now it ends. And at this time, there should be something else that would go on. But Jesus does something else here. He now takes the very implements on the table, and he begins to use it in a different way. And I want you to know the first thing he says, he now, as they celebrate the Passover, and during that Passover, he institutes the Lord's Supper. He says, take, eat, this is my body. First of all, to hear that would actually cause you to question what the Lord is doing, wouldn't it? Would actually bring you to the place of saying, well, what is he saying now? You understand the Passover. You understand the lamb that was just eaten. You understand why that lamb was eaten. You know all that. What is Messiah saying now? What is this teacher saying now? Take, eat, this is my body. He takes a piece of bread. And this is what he's doing. And he's breaking it and giving it to his disciples to eat. And you are giving a piece of bread, and you are now to look at this and think about the body of Jesus Christ as that bread is given to you by Jesus Christ as it is passed on in some way down the table. Or around, they believe the table was in a horseshoe kind of thing, and there was, look on the left-hand side, if we face the table, Judas was sitting here, Jesus there, and then what we had then, John was over there. Peter was on the first seat over this side. And therefore, this is the way we're set up. Now, you and I have come into this room. We have taken a seat. We're looking at Jesus Christ and what he's doing. He takes bread. He breaks it. He tells us to eat it. This is his body. Would you stop for a moment? Would you wonder about what is he saying? Would you say to yourself, what is he doing now? Would you think maybe he's gone off? He comes to give us the kingdom of God. He comes to tell us about what's going on with the Father. The Father saved us as national Israel. He is the one that's saying that we have to follow what Moses has given us. And now he's adding something to this. What is he doing? we probably would hold the bread in our hand and wondering if we really should eat it. Should we follow him right now? What is he saying? Maybe Thomas there, doubting Thomas. Lord, I've followed you in a lot of things, but I don't know if I understand what you're doing right now. Thomas, you know him. You got to prove to me what you're saying. Why should I be eating this? But there's no word of anyone in that room at that particular time around that table stopped and said to Jesus, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't know what you're doing. Pictures given to us that there they are in the midst of this, and God himself, as he's overshadowing us, and Jesus, who he is, and Holy Spirit, have all those men there to now at this point just relax and do what Jesus had to do. But I believe we see this at this point. Matthew indicates to us that Judas might already be gone by this time. So you are to eat. Eat what he's saying. But he says something, dear people. He said, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now all look at this and say the breaking of the bread represents the breaking of Jesus' body itself. What's going to happen a few days from now? It is an image of what's going to take place. There will be now Jesus Christ will be turned over to the hands of men. He would suffer and die for sin. This represents his body. This represents what would take place, his suffering that would soon take place. The body would be broken. He would go through pain, bruised, and pierced for all. And that would be because of sin itself. And he takes this and he says, now, this is my body. I believe God had helped the disciples to look to this and say, we have just eaten lamb. And that was because of the forgiveness of sins or the removal, redemption, the rescuing from Egypt. And now he's pointing to something here. And so therefore God would have them all in a sense where they're waiting to see what Jesus is going to say. He said, this is my body, and this is what was broken for you. Now, the breaking of the bread to show no breaking of his actual body. But he is indicating this is what's going to happen. I'm not sure if they were quite clear about what Jesus was saying. But Jesus was doing something now which we on this side understand. We can see what had take place from the Garden of Gethsemane. Even in the garden, Jesus can say how he was so filled with the emotional trauma of what's about to take place. And even when he was just beaten time after time and hung up on the cross and died there, it probably all rang clear to them then. And they would see and they knew, here is that body which is broken. Jesus tells them, this is what's going to take place. And he goes on and he says to them as it goes down, he says in verse 27, and when they had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. One cup. He passes by. And here you are there. You're sitting. Jesus takes something else now. He takes the cup and he says, drink you all of it. And then he explains to us what the cup is for. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Now remember, these are not men who have to learn something for the first time. These are men who were Jews, and they understood some things. They understood some deep things about the promised Messiah and what he was going to come to do and how there would be this salvation to those who belong to God, brought to himself. And they would understand, too, some of Isaiah 53, that he was going to be bruised and broken. And so now, no doubt, with the help of the Holy Spirit, all this is coming to them. They're beginning to see something. Though Peter, remember back a little while back, he says, no, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem to be killed. Never you. Don't let that happen. But now it's coming to light to them. They're beginning to see and understand. Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood. Now we know, again, just as the bread was not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but represents the body, it is something going to take place, the dying of Christ there. The blood, he's saying now, this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for you. Now, here again, remember, they've gone through the Passover meal. They have had instructions brought to them about the how Israel itself was brought out of Egypt and what was done with the blood. Even in those days, it was the blood was taken from a lamb and put on a doorpost so that, you know, God would pass them by. He was going to come and he's going to destroy the firstborn in Egypt. And so the only way that anyone would be stayed alive is they have to have that blood on the doorpost. And then if the death angel come by, he would not disturb anyone in that house. If you go back to the Old Testament, you think about the actual incident there, you'll find that there was this screaming and all the pain that's going through the people of Israel as firstborns are being killed, put to death by God himself. And see, this very meal now, the Passover is saying to Israel, this is what I did for you. I passed over you. I redeemed you. I brought you to myself. I didn't smite you when I smote the firstborn of Egypt. And now Christ now takes it and he says to this now, here is a cup which was also drank then during the Passover. He said, here's the cup, drink from it, for this is my blood. This cup now represents the fact that you now will be passed over in a sense. But it's more than that. There's going to be redemption from you that you will no longer have to worry about your sins. And he says it there. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. A new covenant. Here you are. We're sitting in the room with him. We have grown up in that very under that culture and everything. We have been those who have studied under all the Pharisees and know all the things about what took place. We knew about the covenant that God made with his people there in the Old Testament, that he would have a people for himself. And that covenant, again, was shown that he would keep them and bring them on. But now that covenant was the thing that kept them even through that night of the death angel coming in. And now Jesus says, now, you are now from this time on to look at a new blood. A different blood. Not that blood. My blood. And he tells them, this is my blood. But then he says, here is the blood of the new covenant. It's the blood which now shows you that there is a covenant which is new. A covenant which God made with his people. Christ, the one who is going to actually ratify that covenant in his own blood. Remember again, when John the Baptist saw John, Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They had just eaten a lamb, which was a lamb which God told them to use even back in the Old Testament. Eat the lamb. Eat it all in at one night. Have yourself ready to leave because you're going to be redeemed out of Egypt tomorrow when it comes. Don't have nothing left for the lamb. And eat everything. Don't boil it or whatever. Make sure you burn it with fire. You roast it and do it that way. And have nothing left over. If there's anything left over because the family is too small, you know, burn that lamb up in because it's done. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring you out. You're going to see what takes place there. But that blood itself is what's going to be the thing that's going to save you. It is my covenant. That was a covenant he made with national Israel. Christ is saying now, that covenant no longer exists. He said that through his Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah. God said, a new covenant I will make with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, because my first covenant they broke. But in this new covenant, it will be no longer every man tell another, you know the Lord, because you will know him. And in other words, the covenant I'm going to make with you now, you're going to know me because you are going to be brought to me by the Spirit and going to be connected to me. Nobody have to come up to you and try to know Jesus. Everyone in this and under this covenant will know the Lord. Now, he ain't saying that we don't have to be taught more and more, and that's what's going to have to happen. But he says everyone in this covenant will be known. Jesus says here, and for this is my body of the covenant. It's one of the other gospel writers say, the blood of the new covenant, excuse me, not body, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You remember the Old Testament again. What had to be done time and time again for forgiveness of sins. They had to go to the high priest, bring the animals. They had different kinds of sins they had to atone for. They had to kill animals. It was done. Jesus says now, this is the last time. My blood is going to be spilled. It's going to be spilled for those that they will receive forgiveness of sins. And you see, Christ is saying here, here is the thing that you have to know. Now you and I, sitting in that room with them. How about Peter? We look at him. Maybe he looks over straight across to Christ. And he's saying, and knowing in his heart, how he had done so much wrong. And how he is so quick to step forward. Meaning well. But puts his foot in his mouth sometime. Maybe there's Thomas sitting back there, you know, doubting still in his mind, you know, oh, how is this thing supposed to work? You're telling us something that, you know, I never heard of before. And some of the other ones wondering about it, you know, John and his brother, they call the sons of thunder. They're ready to do anything, call down fire from heaven. Yeah? But now you got to calm themselves and think, this is going to be it. There's nothing else we have to do. It's going to happen this way. How about you? How about me sitting there? Lord, what are we to take from this? Forgiveness of sins. Doesn't that sound great? Isn't that wonderful? Forgiveness of sins. Here we are. Knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still have to go and plead for forgiveness of sins. Just to think about it. Everything you ever did, past, present, or even what you may do in the future, forgiveness is already given to you. And Jesus says this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. The world has sins horribly, terribly on themselves, even as groups of people, nations, and even as single individuals. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they could really get the message? Jesus died for forgiveness of sins. People go in this world today and they find themselves, it's hard to even get some sleep at night. Because of the things that they've done, maybe even that day, maybe in the past, it keeps coming up, and they may be reaping the very, what should I say, fruit of their sins. And how they wish that they could go back, and then the whole slate could be made clean again. Here they are in their lives in chapter 3, or maybe 13, 20. And they look back, it was in chapter 12, where I went wrong. Chapter 2, where I went wrong. If I could go back and just get that thing right, where it would no longer bother me as it does right now. But Jesus says you don't have to worry about going back. There is this forgiveness of sins that has come. And he says, this is what it is. As they're sitting there that night, going through what Moses told them to go through in Exodus, and how they would have this eating of the unleavened bread for a whole week, 7 days they would do it, from the 14th day to the 21st day. They would eat this because they are now have taken in, so the impression of what God has done out of Egypt will stay with them. In other words, they had to do it in action. Jesus says, you don't have to do anything. I want you to eat the bread and take this blood. And really basically what it said, you're doing it, dear people, dear disciples who are here, because you are connected to me. Take, eat. Here it is. Forgiveness of sins. And that's what gives us as Christians some of the joy we have, don't we? We know we're not going to be perfect. We know it. Many times we sin. Sometimes it's just so quick before we know we sin. Words said, misplaced, or said out of anger, whatever the case may be. Or all laziness. All slow to go to Christ and do what we ought to do. And so here Jesus says, this is what it is. Forgiveness of sins. Child of God, have you sinned? Are you being in a place of spiritual or even emotional turmoil because of sins that you've committed? Because of sins which you've hidden from all, and you think, but you really know in your mind it's not hidden from Christ, not hidden from God, but you think in some kind of way God understands why you really, you just didn't get over that thing yet. God understands it. He understands that you're turning from Him. And He understands that you're making a mockery of the blood of Christ, which died for you, that you would have forgiveness of sins. So Jesus is saying here, He's showing here, no longer would it be what it was before. It was that particular blood on the post, but now here is the blood of the covenant. In the Passover, the blood represented God passing over the Israelites, I indicated, in Egypt, but killing the first of the Egyptian. Christ's blood represents Christ dying, God's love for His people, and that would take the sins of His people away. They would crush them. They would be no longer upon them. And God Himself brings them to Himself then, which is this blood which is poured out for many. God knows who He's going to save. And as He's going to save them, He's going to bring them to Himself. And they will be those who their sins will be forgiven. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says this is basically only the beginning of what's going to take place. There's going to be something attached to us here and now with Christ, but He says there is something that goes all the way. This is not just a lifestyle here. And I believe this might point to the Egyptians or the Israelites in Egypt when they had God with them as He took them through that plight. But Jesus says this is going to go on further. He says in verse 29, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He said this, He's not going to drink of it anymore. Not any longer. I believe, and many of the commentators believe, what Christ is pointing to here. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on." He's thinking to have two parts. Now remember, there is the close connection with the drinking of the wine, which represents the blood, and yet God passed over. No blood was shed of the people under the Passover. And now He institutes the new supper. He said, "This is my blood." So God did, and they believe that what Jesus is saying, He is not going to drink of either. No longer will He be drinking of the blood. When He actually had the cup, He passed it, they drank from it, and believe He probably did too. Maybe He didn't. But He's saying, no longer will there be a drinking of the blood, of the cup, of the fruit of the vine. No longer. He is not going to be drinking from it anymore. Now I guess that put in the minds of the disciples, He's not going to be here anymore. Maybe it is. He told them that He had to go to Jerusalem and He must be killed, put to death. And He told them over and over again that He would. be put to death, and he would raise from the dead on the third day. He told them that. He let them know that the case. And maybe they're in the room now beginning to bring these things together. What Jesus is saying here now, he's showing us now what is going to be the fruit of now his dying. But he says he will not drink from it any longer. He will no longer drink from the fruit of the vine. He will no longer be drinking in any one of these ways, because he sets the institution of the Lord's Supper for us to remember him. And he will no longer be drinking, no longer from the Old Testament Passover meal, because it has ended. But not only that, he will not be there. Imagine again, here you are in there. It maybe it hasn't come to our minds yet what Christ is saying when he says, take this cup or take this bread. But yet, what's going to happen next year? Would that be in our minds? Well, Passover is coming again next year, according to the Jews. They're going to go through the same thing next year. What will I do? Maybe that might go through our minds. Jesus said, I will drink it no longer. No longer will I be drinking this. What is he saying? Well, how about the disciples? Will we be taken? Or will this really bring us to the point where we're saying there is no more merit in the Passover meal? The 7 days of eating unleavened bread now means nothing any longer. Will they see that? Will they understand that? Will it come to them? Would we, as we're sitting there, be able to think that far? Or just think what Christ is saying. No longer will I eat. No longer will I drink from the fruit of the vine. But then he said something that would have to ring in the minds of the disciples. And if we were sitting there, in the minds of us also. Now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now he's saying this represents something, but we're going to really see what it represents when we are in and with him in his Father's kingdom. Well, he's saying here, brethren, you know, the kingdom, he's speaking here, the kingdom of heaven. It is what is God's place where he's going to be with his people. In a sense, Jesus already taught him the kingdom of heaven is among you. It's in your midst right now. But now he's speaking of the place where there'll be the dome where God himself is. And that's where you'll be. This is what is going to take place. You'll be there. And what is he saying? He said he's going to drink it now until that day when I drink it new with you. New. What does he mean by new? What is going to happen? What is going to take place? What Christ is saying here? Well, search the commentators and you come up, they all have the same idea. That first of all, what he's saying here is that his words here are figurative words. Basically what he's saying that when we come into heaven, you're going to be there in his Father's kingdom, there will not be the actual drinking of wine or any liquor whatsoever, but what is going to take place there, this represents the feasting and the pleasantness and all the partaking of the joy and the happiness in heaven itself. Jesus is saying now, the taking of you drink this cup now, you will no longer have to drink it. You'll be new. We'll be new. We will be in the heavens, and you're going to take everything or have everything that this now represents. What do we see the drinking of the cup at this point? As that covenant by Jesus Christ, we see all the blessings that God had had for us. It comes through us even to drinking. This is the new covenant in my blood. We see it and we have it. It's brought to us by the Spirit. We look to that. We yearn on that. We lean on that completely. Christ is saying now, we're not going to drink it when we're there. We will partake of the very presence and the graces and the mercy and the kindness and all the joy that this represents now. Who'll be in heaven? Who'll be with God? Who'll be there? The cup represents the wine in the cup, the new covenant, which is shed for many. Is the very remissions of sins, removal of sins, or taking away of sins. That's what it represents. And he says, and now this is the thing that's going to take place. And no longer will you have to even take this very supper anymore. Because now we will be in the reality. There with God, there with Christ, in his kingdom. There with him, enjoying what we have with him. That solemn night pulls all the things together. The ending of one, the beginning of another. It caused these men who were Jewish and understood all that Moses had done, all that Abraham had done for them, and they know now he was a greater than Abraham. He's come, and all things have come to place. You and I, as we sit there, should be able to say there will no longer be a need for Jesus to drink of the fruit of the vine, or us to drink of it. This solemnity of the covenant, it is very clear. It's done. He sealed and sanctioned the new covenant with his own blood. All things will be accomplished. Everything will be done. The reason why Christ came, he points to them on this very thing. The reason why he came, and that is that plan of salvation, or the plan of the Father to redeem his own people, to solidify that covenant, to do everything that needed to be done. All things will be accomplished, dear people. We see it and we're in that place. It really is accomplished for us, but we don't see it done and over with. Oh, but soon we will enjoy the blessings, the joys, and the redemption, and the ceremonies respected in all, and everything we have, everything we will be presented with by the Father in his kingdom. Jesus is saying now, as you do this, set your mind upon me. Set your mind upon what is taking place here. That's why he says, do this in remembrance of me. You see, Jesus does not want us to come in some kind of detached way of thinking out, okay, this is what we do on the first Sunday, let's do it, and that's it. Jesus says, no, you think about me. Do this in remembrance of me. And dear people, this is what he's saying to us. This is what it means to us. Not just to say, I had communion today. If that all it is in our minds, brother, we are missing it. We should be those who could say, I'm delighted to be able, because I know what it means, and Jesus have a time for this, but this is going to end, because we will not be taking the emblems of his body. We will be there before him, looking upon his body, looking upon that salvation which came to us. Well, what do we learn from this? How do we prepare ourselves from this? Well, first of all, this supper shows that faith in Jesus Christ is believing in Jesus and feeding upon Jesus. You see what he have them doing? He having them eating bread. He have them also drinking from the cup. Notice if you turn to John chapter 6. Jesus is telling them, and he's talking to the Jews now. He's telling them, this is the thing that has to take place. What you need to do is you need to look at me, and you need to come to the place where you have attachment to me, not to the things that you saw in the past. Jesus tells them in 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who have given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to them, oh, fine, you know, give us this bread. You know, it said before that. But Jesus go on in 35. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me comes to me, he's saying. And they come to me because they belong to him. And they become mine because they come to me. Jesus goes on in verse 50. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus is saying, this is the whole thing right here. It's all upon who I am. And this very supper of remembrance shows us what Jesus gave his life to give us life. 56, he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. We know that what he's saying now, there is that spiritual attachment. And the bread here represents to us that spiritual attachment we have from God. We have with Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins, again, brethren, is a thing that you and I have. We have it because of what Christ did. He died for sinners. And that's a present purpose we can see, you and I, right now. We need to take that in and be able to say, I feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I feed upon him and I'm nourished in my soul by what Christ gives me and how he keeps me. And I'm a part of him. He's a part of me. That is done for you and I as we find ourselves continually to worship and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a future purpose also Christ is saying here. Believers must see that the future purpose of the supper is in the presence of the Father, and that's what we'll be enjoying the blessings and joy of redemption with the Father. We fight through that right now. And sometimes there are some who their assurance goes very low. Am I really saved? Am I there or not? And then we have to do something. God will help us to bring back to so we can understand and recognize it. That yes, I am. And brethren, that's the way it's going to be in this life. But just think about it when you're with the Father. No doubt whatsoever. I'm talking to those who are truly saved. We know there's a lot of people that think they are, but they're not. But those who are truly saved, this is the course. Third thing. And that is, as we look to the supper here, Jesus showed us in the scriptures what he said. Jesus told us in the scripture that we should do this. Jesus actually instituted this supper for his disciples there and for all of us now. So I say to each and every one of us, come to the Lord's supper. Take the elements with Jesus in your mind and on your heart. Think about the life you have right now. The life which is sins are forgiven. And you don't have to worry about those sins. Yes, God has made it where you and I, we will hate those sins and we're going to fight those sins, but we will not worry about what those sins are going to bring to you and I. If you are truly saved and in Christ Jesus, that's where you are. But you have to say to yourself, what am I going to do right now? If you take the elements with Jesus in your heart and in your mind, we should take it in a different way. Because in reality, he is here with you right now. He is saying to you and me right now, this is my body. This is my blood. These represent my death in your life. What are you going to do? Just go without that mind, heart, being on Christ? I brought you into the room with him. If you were able to take your mind back to that time in any way, you could not sit in that room without your mind being on Christ, without seeing him taking the cup and saying, drink ye from it, all of you. Without seeing him taking the bread and breaking it and eat. Your mind could not go away from him. But see, our minds can go away from him there because he is with us spiritually, guiding us, but yet we can think on all other things in this world and push Christ out. But you know what's the worst thing? We can think about why we are all right now. In our lives, and so we don't have to think that deeply. Brethren, that's a trick of the devil. That's the flesh telling us we're fine. Don't worry about it. Oh, dear people, we come to the table. How are we going to come? Disconnected. nonchalantly. Well, I heard the word, you know, okay, so I just go through the motions. Or are you going to come from your heart? Are you going to come with your heart on Christ Jesus? Are you going to come even thinking about your own sins? And even how they even block you right now. But you're saying, I'm not going to let them. I'm ending. I'm going to Christ. I stay in Him. My feet on Him. And dear people, Christians, if you believe that there's something in you that's caused a wall between you and your Savior, oh, don't be satisfied with that. Here's the place to destroy that demon. Take Christ to yourself. Think of Him when you eat the bread, that body broken for you. When you take the cup, that blood that was given by Christ for the remission of your sins. If you don't know Christ, I say to you, you may like an easy way. You may like another way. But I say to you, this is the only way. The only way. If you don't have Christ, you're going to die in your sins. If you come to Christ, your sins will be forgiven. Let us pray.